God, we just thank you, Lord, so much for this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your life, Lord, and your breath, Father, that's in our bodies. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that in all things, Lord, that you are with your people. Lord, that you're watching over us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the day that we live in, Lord God, this day of trial and this day of testing, Father, this day of hardship around the world, Lord God, because we know at this time, too, that you're raising up, Lord God, your true church. You're raising up, Lord, those that will walk with you. You're raising up, Father, your people. And so right now, Lord, we just pray your blessing, Lord God, upon your people. We pray, Lord God, your strength in the hearts and in the minds of everyone, Lord God, that looks to you, Father, that seeks your way, that seeks your truth. And Lord, right now, Father, as we just come together seeking you, Lord God, and your word, Father, we just invite, Lord, the free flow of your spirit in this place. Lord, I decrease, Father, I get out of the way, Lord, and I ask that your spirit, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, that you would speak through, Lord, and I just get out of the way and I invite your free flow in this vessel. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, for everyone, Lord God, that's not able to be here this evening, Lord, for various reasons. Father, we pray that you bless and keep them, Father, and for everyone, Lord, that hears this message, Lord, that you would just strengthen them, Father, in their walk with you. And Lord, we go on into this evening, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. So we started a new series, and we're actually in part two on tonight. And last time when we were beginning this one, and as we were talking, loose title for this series, The Call of the Righteous. Now, you are righteous in Christ Jesus. I am righteous in Christ Jesus. Not because of anything that I've done in and of myself, but because we are in Christ. And so being in Christ Jesus, being in a place of spiritual connection with the Father, that happens because of the price that Jesus paid for us on the cross, because of the blood that was shed and the body that was broken so that we could be freed and forgiven of sin. Because of that, we now have access to the Father and we're clean. So whatever it is that we did, whenever, however, with whomever, or whatever, I mean, whatever it is, all of that is gone. Every murder, every pedophile, the most horrible stuff, all of it was taken by Christ on the cross. He took it all. And so if somebody is found in him, they become a new creation. Now, but the key is to be found in him. And so this requires that someone bow their knee before him and ask for his salvation, that they receive that lordship of Christ in their life, and they take that, and that they allow him to be the one that leads and guides them, that his sheep know his voice, so they walk, they follow his voice and his leading of his spirit. So it requires that people choose that way. There is an act of free will that's involved in this whole thing. But when they hear his voice, that they respond. So now, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So there's a call that goes along with it. There's a call that the initial call is, hey, over here, Govinda, hey, over here, Audrey, hey, over here, Andrew, hey, it's like, and it's like, that first call is the Spirit of God that says, hey, there's, the way that you're going is not good. There's another way, and you can be forgiven of everything that you've done. You can know another way. And so when we hear that voice, and when we don't kind of dig our heels in and say, okay, no, I'm not going that way, rather than justifying rather than justifying our actions, and rather than justifying our sin, and rather than justifying, like, okay, oh no, this is okay because, well, didn't you see such and such down the street? They're much worse than me, don't you? Rather than justifying that, just saying and realizing, look, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Appointed unto every man is the time to die, and after that the judgment. It's like realizing the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Realizing those elements and just saying, God, I am totally sunk unless you save me, unless you help me, unless you intervene in my circumstance. I need you. From that place of just calling out and crying out to Him, from your absolute lack and need and dependence, God meets us there. And when He meets us there, then it's just like, wow. You know, and then, and that's that, when somebody has that new birth experience, when they're born again, as Jesus was talking about in John 3, it's like you are born in spirit, you come alive, and it's just like you just left that place of spiritual death and decay, and for the first time it's just like, wow, there's something else than what I've always known. And now, as soon as you start that path, as soon as you start that path, now you're on a journey that is so much love in the room for everyone.
I mean, you related by Delicious.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did.
You didn't pick up the phone when I called.
Ah.
Please, I'm sorry.
Sure, no, you're fine. Okay, so we're talking about the part two, the Call of the Righteous. That's the
I missed like about two episodes, so
yeah.
I'll just catch up.
Okay, cool. All right, so on the path, now when somebody comes to Christ, on that path, now there's an initial call that begins with somebody walking with Him, which is like, hey, over here, there's another way. And we realize our spiritual lack. We realize our spiritual need. We realize the need for a Savior. We realize the need for a way out of here. And now, what happens a lot of times too is people will realize their need for that, and the world sets up an elaborate set of traps to catch somebody while they're trying to get out. So that's what most religions are in the world, where people realize, shoot, my family is falling apart and my life is a mess, and so we need to go to church, you know, because we should get the kids in Sunday school, and we need to go get some counseling, and so you can spend 10 years going there, and then they'll have a whole set of social norms for you to follow and for you to do these things, and then you probably be okay. And as long as you get the approval of the spiritual leader of that place, then you must be okay, because he's the one with the credential on the wall. But it still hasn't done anything for that crying need in your spirit of, okay, I need peace. I have this guilt hanging over my head. I have this shame because of the things that I've done before. I've got unresolved issues in who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? You see, and so all of those things, and those aren't resolved. What you're given is this stale, weekly, 30-minute thing, and now you're doing your duty. But it still hasn't met that spiritual need. So when somebody truly connects up with the Father for themselves, and that spiritual link is made, which is offered in Christ Jesus, from that point and from that spiritual position, now you've started a journey, and there's a call that goes along with it, and we need to follow it through. See, this is again one of the deceptions, where people are like, oh, okay, come to the front, say this hocus pocus prayer, and now everything's good, and you should be fine, and now just come back every week, and everything's good. No, you're called to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. You know, you're called to, as an individual, as a person, as a human being, you are called to connect up and to work out your own salvation with the Creator, and to do that before Him, so that one of the reasons why you have to work it out for yourself with Him is because you're also made unique. And so what you are called to will be different than what I'm called to. What you're gifted in is different than what I'm gifted in. What you are will find fulfillment with will be different than what I find fulfillment with. And if I am activated by the Spirit of God to do what it is that God's called me to do, that'll bless and build the work of the Lord in the world, the kingdom of God that's operating here in the earth. Plus, it'll strengthen the body of Christ that's here, and I will find incredible fulfillment in that. And if I don't, what I'll end up doing is trying to do something that seems right to my own mind, leads to death, destroys the lives of other people, continues to build the world system, and is in the end something that's at enmity with God. I don't want to be part of that, so I want to be part of life. But it requires walking this thing out with Him, and Him doing that in me. Now, there's some general stuff that applies to everybody. For example, Scripture talks about fleeing from sexual immorality, you know, and things like that that are done against, you know, against your own body, and it damages your connection with the Lord. So it's like that. Okay, everybody, you know, it's like, go with it. Trust God on something like that. Because, and then, you know, when, so something like that, it's like, oh no, the Lord's saying, no, that's, you know, seek to present your body as a living sacrifice. Seek to, okay, like Romans 12, you know, where it talks about how, okay, let's just flip there, since, don't take my word on it.
Yeah, we know it.
Yeah, I know. Don't believe me unless I show it to you. It's my southern preacher voice. Okay. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so God calls us to, okay, like your body is the temple of the Spirit of God. So, for example, you don't find the Spirit of God now habitating in a temple in Jerusalem or some tabernacle in the desert. Or you don't find that now. What you find under the new covenant, when the veil of the temple was rent in two, is now you find that Jesus, and even when Jesus was praying, he said, look, it's better for you that I go away, because I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. He's going to be with you and he's going to be in you. So the Spirit of truth comes and lives and resides inside the life and the heart of the follower of Christ. So one thing that we want to do is to make our lives a place, and our bodies a place, where the Spirit of God enjoys staying. Have you ever been to, like, okay, like, you've traveled plenty of odds here in Sri Lanka and stuff. You stayed in hotels where, okay, you can spend the night there, but you really wouldn't want to stay there much longer than that. Because it doesn't feel like a home. It doesn't feel like, I mean, you can stay there, but it's not an environment that you feel comfortable or want to stay there. There's an environment that you enjoy living in. There's an environment that mirrors even the home that you stay in, and there is your actual home. So when you start looking at, so for example, you start looking at even in Revelation, where it talks about the environment that God lives in, and you start seeing a little bit about what that's like, It's like, well, okay, this is what he lives, where he lives, and this is what he enjoys. What can I do in my own life, since my body's his temple, to make my life mirror something that he enjoys, a place where he would delight to stay, want to stay? You see? So it's like, so there is that element of it. And so that's why too, you know, now the crux of it though is that you also have this flesh that's hardwired for sin from the fall, that, you know, likes to eat, likes to, you know, like you know, just that has certain, that will talk to you. You know, your flesh will, you can, ooh, that feels nice. You can rub, it's like your flesh has desires, memories, feelings, and if you let your flesh completely do whatever it wants, it'll absolutely kill you. I mean, very fast. If your flesh just had its way, in fact, there are laws, you know, put in place even in this country in the middle of its lawlessness, that, you know, if people let their flesh run rampant here, they still go to jail even in this place, because there's certain things put there just to avoid the whole society breaking down into barbarism. You know, in the midst of all the lawlessness in this land, yeah, they still even have that in place. So even the most carnal based people still understand that, you know, there's, if you let your flesh completely run amok, it'll destroy you. Now, so they want you to destroy yourself at a slower rate. but with something like this as well, there's a call for those who are, you are righteous in Christ Jesus. The call is to walk that out, and to, as far as your physical body goes, to seek to make it a place where the Spirit of God enjoys staying, because it's his home. He chooses to reside in us. And so it's like you realize that too, and then it's like, okay, whoa, my body is the temple of God. I mean, talk about something for your self-esteem, you know, boosting. I mean, like the God that created the entire universe chooses to live and reside in you, in me. And so that being the case, it's like, is it too much to ask to work with them to clean out a couple of these rooms that need to, you know, some dusting and, you know, some stuff moved out? It's like, it's not a bad thing. And ultimately, you will experience and know, I will experience and know the blessing that comes along with that, which is a deeper connection and walk with him. Now there are, what I've noticed too, is there are people who will seek to follow the Lord and they mess up. But when they mess up, it's like, God, I can't stand that. I don't ever want to go into that. I don't want to stay there. Lord, please help me to come clean. And then there are those who will say, no, this is okay. You know, didn't David have hundreds of wives, and didn't such and such do this, and didn't, you know, and it's like, and completely miss the Spirit of God behind all of this stuff, not understanding, you know, the truth that's really there. That's called justifying again. It's justifying self and selfishness and sin. And even then, it's like, that's something people have to come clean of. Because that is, again, holding on to something that God's seeking to set you free from, seeking to set all of us free from, which is to walk life out clean with the Father. So it's a progression, you know, and it's like, and different people are at different places with stuff like this. But the need that's there is, because see, God's not trying to cheat his people. You know, he's actually trying to give us and show us the best way. But it requires that we turn our lives over to him. And when somebody has weakness, to stop and to say, Lord, help me in this area. You know, help me in something that I'm, because I don't want to go that way. You see, here's something too that I do a lot of times, is when I see something in Scripture, I know that God's not going to instruct me to do something that He's not also going to empower me to do. So, for example, He's not going to say, okay, Govinda, I want you to fly to the moon and tell me that, and not give me a way and an empowering to be able to do what He's instructed me to do. So He, and you notice, there's nowhere in the Scripture where He tells me to fly to the moon. That's not in here. You know, I mean, He hasn't put that in there for me. It's not my job. Some things that He has put in here for me, though, is like this one. You know? So, and the reason that He's put that, so He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's like, that's the least you can do. That means your reasonable service. It's like, alright, God saved you. That's the least you can do. Because it's something that, it's like He'll also empower you to do that. So there's that shift that takes place in the heart and the life of a believer, of a true follower of Christ, which is like, you want that. You want to walk with Him. You want to walk clean with Him. You know when you do something that grieves Him, that it hurts His heart. It hurts your connection with Him. And it breaks your heart as much as it breaks His heart. You know, and it's like, and that happens. And then after a while, it's just like, all right, so Lord, whatever it takes, you know, and show me. And see, even with, there's, for each person too, it may be like, for example, I have some friends who have substance abuse problems. You know, some friends that have, you know, like, and so for them, you know, something, you know, you might not be able to handle this situation. So don't put yourself in that situation. You know, don't do whatever you need to, as the Spirit of God shows you, so that you can live free of that. You know, not making a law, but again, work out your own salvation. Let God show you which way to go and how to deal with this stuff. Ultimately, though, is what you want is where the Spirit of God changes your heart and your desire so that your longing is more than anything for Him. So it's not that, oh, I'm just going to restrain myself from this. No, it's that you have something that has a stronger passion and a stronger hold on you, so that the passion that you have for Him outweighs the desire that you have for anything in the world. So it's like the pull of the world is strong, but the love and the connection that you have with Him is stronger. So that outweighs the other. You see, have you ever noticed how, like, so many people within organized religion, it's like they're some of the most twisted, perverted people, because all this stuff is like bottled up,
frustrated
inside, and they live with guilt and shame for the littlest thing that they did back, you know, when they were 12 and a half. And they're just in this thing, and they're angry and they're bitter, and they're trying to control other people and put the same guilt and shame that they have on somebody else. And none of it's been dealt with. And then it's all their life is this whole set of do this and don't do that, and enforce that on somebody else. Whereas there's no freedom in that. The heart's not been changed. It's just now they've found another way to package it, and it's like, and just, they're just angry, frustrated people. That's no good. That's no good at all. So rather than that, this stuff needs to be dealt with. You wouldn't it be great if the temptation is there in front of you, and you have, it's like, yeah, you know, because it's
you have no desire.
You know, because your desires have changed, your heart has changed, the things of the world have grown strangely dim. Wouldn't that be fantastic if, like, when you're following Him, where He actually changes your desires and your heart, so that the things that once drew you and enslaved you, now you're free from, and it's like, whew, I don't need that. You know? And so that's why when Paul even was writing, he said, look, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. He was not mastered by anything in the world. And so for him, it's like, yeah, I'll take a drink. So what? What does that mean? You know, I mean, it's like, and then he realized too, look, everything is done with and dealt with in Christ. I'm not going to use that as, and he said, look, don't use that as an occasion to indulge the flesh. It's not a license to go and, you know, go completely carnal. But what it is it's an admonition to realize, look, you know, you're free in Christ. This stuff has been dealt with. Now, you're free to live holy. You're free to walk this thing out. You're free to, and you're free to also be released from every stupid thing that you did before. It doesn't have a hold on you. But now, don't go back there, because the other thing about it is that the wages of sin is death. So, you know, I mean, I have friends that, you know, they started walking with Christ, and, you know, and God was setting them free, and they, you know, they took some liberties with the grace that He gave them, and then there's consequences. You know, consequences in their body, consequences in their mind, consequences. See, there's still some natural laws in effect in the world. There's a law of sow and reap. You put something in the ground, it's going to grow. You know, it's going to come back to you. And so, you know, like, I mean, you can go out tomorrow and do whatever, but then, you know, you get an STD. Don't get mad at God. It's like, no, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. It's like, what are you mad at God for? I mean, He's the one. He gave a standard. He gave a way to walk. He gave. He said, look, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And it's like, and then. Because, okay, back to Proverbs 19, where it says a man's own ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against God. So, I mean, that specific example, it's like that somebody doing their own thing, having their own way, and then now they're having the consequences of that in themselves, and then they get mad at God. What are you mad at God for? You know, just
when things happen, you've forgotten that you've done it yourself.
Yeah. No, you know what? Most... Just, I mean, actually, it's pretty much self-induced,
yeah.
By and large. I mean, it's very, very rare that you get like a Job case, you know. But by and large, what people deal with in life is the consequences of their own actions. You know, actually, I brought this with me today. This is the Apocrypha. I love it. I've got the Apocrypha in here. But no, there was one thing. I don't know if I can find this one. Okay, wait, let me find this. Oh, here. This one in the Apocrypha, it's an interesting statement. It says, speaking of Egypt, he says that the swarms of creatures devoid of reason to chastise them and to teach them that the instrument of a man's sin are the instruments of his punishment. And there's some serious wisdom in here. The instrument of a man's sin is the instrument of his punishment. You think about, too, like how many things, you know, people go after and chase after, and they turn right around and bite you in the butt.
Mm.
You know, and it's like, rather than, yeah, I mean, it's like, you wanted that guy really bad, didn't you?
Now you got him.
I mean, it's like, you know, you, rather than seeking the Lord, people seek success in the world, or they seek lust in the world, or they seek pleasure in the world, and they sow to that. sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. Sow to the spirit, you reap life. So, in seeking that, it destroys their own life. So when you so back to the call of the righteous. You're righteous in Christ Jesus. You've been made the righteousness of God in Him. So you're called to remain in that place of spiritual connection and walk with Him. But realize too that part of this call is, alright, you're called to be holy. Even as He's holy, you're called to that. And it's not something that's unattainable. See, this is why too, people have made this false... seek for the best connection that you can have with the Father this day. And anything that He shows you along that way that's not Him, and He strengthens you, cut it out, leave it out, whatever. Give it a little time. And just watch what happens. I mean, your life will be a reflection of God. So, I mean, it's not a... Yeah, people have desires and hopes and dreams and all of that, but you put it all before the Father. And don't let any one of those things master you. Because see, also too, one of the things that's necessary is, okay, because in my flesh dwells no good thing, there's an instruction for me to, like Paul was writing about, he said, look, I beat my body and I make it my slave. He's like, you know, I seek to, my flesh is not going to tell me what to do, but my spirit, which is, and my mind, which is now being transformed and renewed day by day in Christ, verse 2 of Romans 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that my mind, which is being renewed, now tells my body, which is under subjection to my renewed mind and my spirit, this is what you're going to do. You know, you will work out today. you will work out today. I know you like sitting on the couch, but I didn't ask you what you liked. I tell you what you will do. You know, and then it translates from something like that to a lot of other areas in your life. And then after a while, you begin to develop mastery in your body, and then your body is now, and see, you notice, if you ever notice how like people that walk with spirit, I mean, they look different. Like you can just even see it in their face, in their eyes, in their demeanor. There's just something different about them.
Thank you.
Oh, praise God. Okay. But there's something different about them, and it's not something that it's not makeup or hair products or, you know, the world tries to package it. And it's like, oh, look, glowing skin. It's like, no, it's the Spirit of God that's inside a person. And when a person's life is a welcoming place for the Spirit of God, then that, it just shines and glows all the more out of that person. Like people, some of the most beautiful people I've known in my life are people of prayer. And they're like people that spend just extensive time. Not people don't, you know, externally.
Also could be the fact that they're very calm. Their minds are very calm as well.
Because again, prayer regulates the mind and the heart and the thoughts. So if you, for example, if you spend time in prayer, and then you go out into your day, you're grounded. You have a connection that's been there and it's clean, and you're coming into your day from that. Whereas, have you ever noticed if you get up and like, oh yeah, shoot, I overslept. And then the whole day, you're going about this thing with just this out of balance, out of place, not the right timing in the things that you do. And so that's why it's like, part of it is to seek to connect up and to stay connected and to walk this thing out. And so it's like, you're seeking that true connection, you're seeking that so certain things cloud the mind, cloud the heart, cloud the thinking, make it, you know, okay, so for example, when somebody's drunk, are they in a place where they can take a math test? You know, and it's like, I mean, just obviously, it's like, no, their minds are not working like that. So when a person's spirit is clouded up by all kinds of things, are they in a place now where they can test and know and approve the will of God? So even like in Romans 12, where it says the second part of verse 2, here, let me read these again, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ah, so there's a reason behind it too. The reason is so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's part of it is also so that you can know and walk out the will of God for you and for the body of Christ in the place that you are and what you're up to. So it's like, so if your body isn't that and your mind isn't being renewed, how then, if you have a set of decisions before you, will you be able to know which one is God's and which one is not? So, I mean, for example, I've talked to so many people who stayed in really horrible relationships for very long periods of time because that relationship got into, you know, became sexual, and because it did, their mind and their heart, their judgment, their thoughts were clouded, and they were like, oh, okay, you know, maybe God will make this work. And make, no, they can't see because the whole thing's gotten blurred. You know, whereas now God is pretty specific about His order, His chain of events, how things supposed to work, and also the parameters for where His blessing is. So, like, okay, the example I used with a friend recently was it's like a fireplace. We don't have them too much in Sri Lanka outside of Neuralia, but a fireplace. You know, you have this space in the house in where is designed to have that fire, keep that fire, where you can start a fire there and it brings warmth to the whole house, and it will, you know, and it's in the right place. It's meant to be there. Try starting a fire in your living room and see what happens to the rest of the house. Try starting a fire in the TV room or the dining room, you burn your house down. It's the same fire, but in one place it's in the right place, and in one place it's in the wrong place. In one place it's a benefit and it's a joy, and you can enjoy it for weeks on end. Another place, you're calling 911 20 minutes into it because your whole house is burning down. So it's like, it's the same thing. It's like there's things that God has put in place where it's His way, where He said, okay, this is, I've given you this. I intend for you to enjoy food. Like, I've created this. It's there. But, you know, now, you know, there's a way for your body to work. I've intended for you, I've created you as a being with certain kinds of feelings, thoughts, emotions, those are there. But now bring this before me, search in the Word and find out how are things supposed to be. And then when you find it, then ask the Lord. And so it's like, see, in part of life too, people mess up, make all kinds of mistakes. Alright, that's what repentance is. You stop and you say, God, I've look at the mess that I've made in my life. Help. Please help. And He does. That's why when somebody will bow their knee before God and will say, Lord, you know, this is me, this is where I'm at, help me, He intervenes in that person's affairs. You remember like the woman caught in adultery? The whole thing with her was like, they were like, okay, now we're, all right, so they bring this woman out who's been caught. Yeah, to kill her. And now, where's the man, by the way? Because he's supposed to kill both of them according to the Old Testament law. But the guy, brother, yeah, go ahead, oh, just grab the woman. And so they bring the woman out. It's like, yeah, it's, anyways. But Jesus' thing with them was like, okay, All right, let whoever's not sinned, you cast the first stone. And they're trying to trap Jesus. And he's like, all right, you know, all right, whoever hasn't messed up here, you cast the first stone. And people that had lived a little bit longer started walking away first because they're like, that can't be me. And then it finally came down to, hey, there's nobody left. You know? So the thing is, all back to scriptures, confirms the scriptures as well. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, and what does he do with that woman? He's like, if there's somebody that could have thrown a rock at her, it's Jesus. He had the right. And what did he do? And he said, and then they said, he said to her, you know, a woman she's like, nobody's condemned. And Jesus says, look, you know, neither do I, the one that has the option to condemn you. I choose to forgive you. I choose to release you. Go now, go and sin no more. So that's the thing. It's like, it's so then when somebody is at Jesus' feet and you're at that place, that's where it's like, you know, where you could be, but you bow your knee before him, you could be condemned in that situation. But what he does is he forgives and he releases. Now, if somebody turns their back on him, then what are they left with? Well, you're left with reaping the natural and the spiritual consequence for your action. And that's a world of hurt, too. So see, the thing is, when somebody comes before God, when they line their lives up with God, you line yourself up with a place of life. And then, then part of it is now a process of the Spirit of God allowing Him to work in you. Gradually, He begins to work with you. And gradually, He begins to show you here and here and here. And you allow that process to take place because in that, He's perfecting you. He's making you more and more reflection of who He is. Now, also during the middle of this whole thing, you're being attacked on every single side by every demonic force that seeks to want to keep you from ever getting free. The same temptations that used to snag you are coming back again and saying, oh, don't you want this carrot? Look at the nice carrot. It's back here over here. Come on. Come. You know, and then, you know, some people say nope and they keep going. Others say, oh, okay, and they're like, oh gosh, and they're like, you stupid, you bit the carrot again. And then, but no, even then, stop, get up, dust yourself off, and keep moving with the Father. And don't go back there again, because God's calling His people into life. He's calling His people into truth. He's calling His people into a higher way, into life. See, okay, one of the things too, Isaiah 42, verse 7. And actually, let me go back a little bit. Say, verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth bread unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I the Lord have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Speaking of Jesus. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither will I my praise to graven images. Okay, so Jesus came to set the captives free. And so that's one of the things that He does is, and so one thing, when you're called by God, you're called to be free. And you're called to live free. You're called to walk this thing out in the freedom that's given in Christ Jesus. So when God, for example, you know, saying on the whole sexual side of things, since we're there, is somebody that's engaged in an illicit lifestyle is not free. They're not free. That person is bound to their flesh. They're tied up with connections to people that they probably wish they never had. They're a slave to their lusts, their passions. Their walls are broken down. They can't think clearly. They can't make clear decisions. They feel so distant from God. They feel that, and there's a shame and a guilt factor that's there. It hurts the relationships that they have with other people. It hurts the relationships they have with themselves. You know, throughout. And so it's like, so that person's not free. And so think about it. What does the world do? The world and the world system will give you an illusion, put it up on television and all this stuff, of, okay, look, here's this happy-go-lucky, you know, guy in his 20s or this, you know, Baywatch girl or whatever. And, you know, so here's this whole thing, and look, they're free, and they're, you know, getting around, and they're doing this, and there's no consequence, it's all just... But the truth of that, if you look at people that try to emulate that in life, is it's all destruction. It's all bondage, it's all pain, it's all hurt. And so when you start going to, okay, what happens now in the world is that God sets people free from that bondage. So there's a freedom in His way. The world offers you the illusion of freedom, and then when people bite on it, they realize, oh, that was a bad piece of fruit. Now, I had that today, I ate a bad piece of fruit. I was like, No, it's like a, and then when you realize that, it's like, snap. Yeah, and so the world gives you, offers you something, and then you find out it's bad. God, people misunderstand sometimes that though it looks like, you know, a constriction, it's actually being released into freedom. But it's a process as well. And the process begins with a step in the right direction, a step towards Him, a step where, if nothing else, it's a step that falls to your knees, where at that place before Him, you're like, God, I need help. Because I don't want to live like this. I don't want to walk like this. So, so Jesus came to set the captives free. See, this is also another thing too that I do. Okay, now, say for example with people that preach and teach, or people that call themselves pastors, or whatever, reverend, or you know, Your Eminence, or whatever. Is okay, if you are truly an ambassador of Christ, if you are in Him, if you live and move and have your being in Him, if you're anything like Christ, you too will set the captives free. So now my question is, do those people that preach and teach, are they setting people free? Yes or no? Are they setting people spiritually free or not? Most of the time, the answer is no. Most of the time, what's happening is they're trying to acquiesce a following unto themselves, and to put those people in some kind of spiritual bondage, and to keep them there as a resource for themselves and somebody they can lord over. That's not Christ. So ultimately, I'm left with the conclusion these people are false. It's not, I'm not passing judgment on anybody, I'm just testing it by the Word. Saying, okay, if this is what Christ is like, and if somebody says that they are one that speaks for Christ, they use imagery that might be associated with Him, they call themselves this, they assume a title unto themselves that's got some biblical basis, all right, fine, you've done that. Now let's measure it by the Scripture and see. Oh, wait a second. No, you're not. You know, this is not, it's not on. So then when I can say that, then it's not a, I'm just being real. I'm just going with the Scripture. So it's like, if that person's not setting people free, they're a false teacher. Because Christ ultimately is setting people free so that they can truly walk this life out with Him. So if people are not being set free from the world and the world system, if they're not being set free from the bondages that they're in, then then what's happening? Well, you have the reverse, which is what the world does, which is just ties you up more and more and more. So even too, a lot of times what happens with those places is you're given some kind of experience. You're given like a, kind of like a rock concert. You know, you go and you'll have, you know, this little high, and then the show's over. And you go back to exactly what you were in right before. Nothing's changed. You know, and so the same thing. It's like people go for their experience. They go, they have some kind of experience, and then back to life in the world. Continue to be a slave to the world and the world system. So you have to test and to see where people are coming from. And right now, the bulk of the people are false that are in those positions. Now, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they won't follow another. So the true sheep of God have that discernment that says, something's not right here. You know, I know this guy's wearing the shirt and has a degree on the wall, but something's not right here. This is not someone that's speaking in connection with the Father. And so those ones, they're not following them. They're following the voice of the Spirit. But many are deceived. And many are, and because of that too, where does that come from? Well, because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to a powerful delusion, that believing the lie they may be damned. So there are those, and see, this is where too, where this is again the point where for us, we stop and we say, Lord, you know, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss what you're doing. And this is a prayer. It's like, Lord, if I'm missing it, please show me. Please correct me. Please reveal yourself to me and give me by your Spirit the empowering to go with you on what you show me. But show me, because I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to go the wrong way. I don't want to break your heart. I don't want to anything like that. You see, so it's like you open it up to Him and you say, Lord, please show me if I'm off. And it's a lot of times when somebody prays that prayer, you've just opened the door for God to turn your world upside down. And He does that. So all right, here's something to contemplate too. All right. You're called as a follower of Christ to come into an agreement with the Spirit of God that's living and moving and having His way in you. You're called as a follower of Christ, you're called as a righteous one to come into a spiritual agreement with the Spirit of God, where there is no separation between your will and His will. So like when Jesus was teaching to pray in Matthew 6, where He said, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that perpetual submission of your will to His, where there actually becomes a fusing of His will and your will, where there is no difference, there is no distinction, where the will that you would have is the same as the will of the Father, because you're that given over to the Spirit of God in you. Okay, so for example, I think here, Amos 3:3. Amos. There's a cookie in America called Famous Amos. Really nice cookies. Amos 3:3, short verse, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay. Amen. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now think about it. Can you walk anywhere with somebody for a long time unless you're in agreement with that person? You can't, because you are going somewhere. You're heading in a direction, and in order for you to keep going in that direction with that person, you have to be in an agreement with them. And if you're not, you part company. So the same thing with the Spirit of God. It's like you can't walk with the Spirit of God unless you are in an agreement with the Spirit of God. Now, think about this too. Okay, if you are walking somewhere with somebody, what changes and what remains the same? Just that. Okay, if you are walking with somebody, Audrey, you and I are walking somewhere. What changes and what remains the same?
Location changes.
The environment changes,
but
the direction.
Because
the two of you stay the same.
And the two of you. So that's right. Good. All right. Your surroundings continue to change, but your company remains the same, and you're both heading in the same way. And it's the same thing with Christ. See, when you're walking with Him, your environment will change. Because you're moving. You're moving with the Spirit. And you're on an adventure with Him. So this life and the adventure you're on will continue to shift and change. And your externals will change. And one day things will be up. And one day things will be down. And one day things will be turning around. But it's okay. Because that's all something external. But internally, you're in a continuous walk and step with somebody that's right there with you on this journey. So He's there with you. Now, what's another thing that's happening? As you're talking with this person and you're walking with them, do you know them better or worse than you did before?
Yeah.
You know them better. So as you continue to walk with the Father through a changing world and changing environments and all of that, you are getting to know Him more and more, and He's right there with you, and that company is consistent in that whole process of flux and change and everything else that's going on around you. So I think that's part of why Jesus spent so much time walking everywhere when He was on the earth. Like, I mean, if you wanted to go with Jesus, you had to walk with Him. You know, you didn't set up a monument and then, you know, okay, let's go visit the Jesus monument. No, He was going somewhere so much of the time, and it was like people were always begging Him, Jesus, stay here, and He's like, no, I gotta go. You can come if you like, but so people were always following. I mean, they were trying to figure out where He was. You know, boats were sailing and people were running and looking around, where did Jesus go? I mean, they were, but so if you were walking with Jesus like the 12, your environment was changing, your atmosphere was changing, things were happening, but you were always walking with Him. And over the course of that 3.5 year ministry, He was sharing and telling and exposing and revealing and teaching these guys. And over the course of that period of time, they knew Him. They got to know Him. So it's the same thing even with us. It's like as you continue to walk out life with God, He will be there with you if you go in agreement with Him. And everything else will shift around you. But He'll be there. And you'll know Him. And that's what you're called to. You're called to know Him. You're called to walk with Him. Now see, here's another twist. The world will so often tell you that your position in the world, your relationship in the world, how often are people happy when things are going their way in the world? And that being a mark of God's blessing, so they think. So it's like, oh wow, I just got the sales contract. Thank you, Jesus. You know, oh wow. You know, you don't hear anybody like, oh wow, you know, my uncle just got diagnosed with XYZ. Happy-go-lucky day, happy days are here again. No, I mean, so people very often, it's situational. Their relationship and even their connection with God is based on things going my way in the world. Who wants the Job experience? No, I know. So that's what I'm saying. So it's like you know, whereas what does Scripture again call us into? You know, it's like, consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint. What did Paul say? He said, look, I've learned the secret of to be content in all situations, whether in plenty or in want. So, that's Philippians, and the Philippians. So, now it's easy to learn to be content when you got everything, but the secret is developed in when you don't have, and you learn what it's like, how God is taking care of you in that. And then when you come to a point where you don't need, because you realize, hey, okay, the promise of the word in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom and God will take care of you. He'll take care of your needs, basically. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, food and shelter, the things that you need, food and clothing, will be taken care of for you. So you start realizing the truth of the promises of God. And then you realize, look, he's going to take care of you. So whether I'm up or down in the eyes of the world, I'm still walking with him. And then you start coming into this place of, okay, Lord, so where are we going? And what's up with this journey? And then now your connection is not based on, you know, did I have a favorable outcome in the world that now, you know, so now I have some kind of success in the world, and now my relationship and my connection with God and the relationship of my favor with God, so I would perceive, is based on how things worked out for me in the world. That's completely backwards, completely twisted. Because that's actually what the world offers. The world says, you sell yourself out to this, and now we'll give you success in the system. And a lot of carnally minded Christians, I use the term loosely, they're not really Christians, they're worlders, they use the label. But a lot of carnally minded people that claim the label of Christian, they want success in the world, and they've just tried to use the label of Jesus to achieve that. But they're no different than the baby killer that, you know, kills a baby and drinks the blood to get success in the system of the world. They're just usually at a lower ranking, because if you want to get really high in the world, you've got to do some really despicable stuff so that you can be at the top level of that pyramid. So, yeah, gosh, time goes so fast. So in this thing, let me close it out with a couple little things here. John 14. John. Oh, nice. Hey, she's got a Bible. Be nice. Okay, John 14.
6.
Okay, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we shall come unto him and make our abode with him. Again, the environment, create your heart? Okay, right. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now have I told you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Okay, so again, cultivating your life and that environment, and the spiritual environment even internally, where the Spirit of God enjoys and desires to dwell and to reside. Okay, interesting, amazing to me that verse 27, God is talking about peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. When is he talking about this peace? What's happening like right after this?
Is it peace of mind he's referring
to? No, but I mean, I'm talking about the events.
Oh, yeah.
He's right before the crucifixion. So he's talking about giving peace right before the most terrifying event ever known to man. So, and then what does he say? Okay, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So, okay, what the world is talking about when it talks about peace is a cessation of external hostilities. So when people talk about peace in Sri Lanka, what are they talking about? They just want a ceasefire. They just want, you know, people to stop shooting at each other. That does nothing for the internal condition in the heart and the mind of man. What Jesus offers is internal serenity into, I mean, where your entire soul and spirit can be still as a sea of glass. I mean, it just can be just smooth. No ripple on that water whatsoever. I mean, just can be still. And in the midst of the most tumultuous external storm that this world will ever take you through. Now, back to walking. How can two walk together at least they be agreed? If my peace I give to you. Okay, the peace comes with, again, the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom my Father will send in my name, that Spirit of God that lives and resides and walks with us, and that we walk with when we're walking with the voice of Christ. As you're walking with Him, He, that Spirit of peace, you'll have the peace of God with you as you walk with Him in that path. Now that peace stays with you if you're walking in that obedience with Him, regardless of what's happening outside. So now your environment's getting crazy, and everybody's trying to crucify you, and everybody's trying to attack and bludgeon and all of that. And there's a peace that Jesus offers, which is actually the peace that the whole world needs. Everybody in the world needs this peace, because you could have a cessation of hostilities, and there's no resolution on the inside, and it's just like that frustrated religious person that bottled up everything, you know, because it's not resolved. What you need is the internal kingdom of God that's within. The kingdom is within you. That's what Jesus said. Kingdom is within, and the peace that He offers again is within. Now, one other thing with that. With this peace, and again, how can two walk together at least they be agreed? Go to Proverbs 4. We're talking about the call of the righteous. The call of the righteous. Yes. Okay. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23 says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And NIV also would say, "Guard your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life." Yes? You have the NIV? Or you have the New King?
New King.
Okay, yeah. So keep that heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes out of it are the issues of life. So you're part of your call as well, and part of the instruction that you need to know is to guard your heart. Because what the world seeks to do is to infiltrate the heart, infiltrate the mind, and get those things, and then if it can get there, then it will seek to then take you in another course that is away from agreement with the Spirit of God, to take you in another path that then in the end leads to destruction. So when it comes to the relationships that you have, guard your heart. When it comes to the things that you allow in your mind, guard your heart. When it comes to the things that you allow to be put in front, make some conscious decisions as led by the Spirit of God to guard your heart so that you're not deceived and you're not trapped in something that is taking you in another direction away from an agreement and a walk with the Spirit of God. So, okay, I really like this Apocrypha. You know, there's wisdom all over in the world. And you allow for, you know, just let God lead you. I mean, I'm loving reading some of this stuff. All right, speaking of guarding your heart, I just was thinking about this and I was like, all right, good to read. And you're all drawing it close. Okay, it's speaking about friends. Right? And it's really interesting for me. All right. About friends. Because, okay, when now, because I let different people into my life at different levels, different areas. And now when I was reading this, I was like, ooh, okay, this is why even God's put that already in me, and now I'm starting to realize something good. All right, just listen here. this is from Ecclesiasticus, which is also called... in the Apocrypha, it's also called Ecclesiasticus or the Wisdom of Jesus, Son of Sirach. Alright. It says, pleasant words win many friends, and an affable manner makes acquaintances easy. Accept a greeting from everyone, but advice from only one in a thousand. When you make a friend, begin by testing him, and be in no hurry to trust him. Some friends are loyal when it suits them, but desert you in time of trouble. Some friends turn into enemies and shame you by making the quarrel public. Another sits at your table, but is nowhere to be found in times of trouble. When you are prosperous, he will be your second self and make free with your servants. But if you come down in the world, he will turn against you, and you will not see him again. Hold your enemies at a distance and keep a wary eye on your friends. A faithful friend is a secure shelter. Whoever finds one has found a treasure. A faithful friend is beyond price. His worth is more than money can buy. A faithful friend is an elixir of life, found only by those who fear the Lord. The man who fears the Lord keeps his friendships in repair, for he treats his neighbor as himself.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I was like, when I was reading this thing, I was like, yeah. And then so you think about it, okay, guard your heart. And then you think about, too, the people that you like to get close to your heart. And, you know, the interesting here, it just says, when you make a friend, begin by testing him, and then be in no hurry to trust him. You know, I mean, people... sometimes they want so badly to have that affirmation, have somebody there, know that they're okay, and they open up their lives. And then sometimes people, you know, but be careful. Don't just let anybody in there. And especially when you're a child of God and you're seeking to walk with Him, stop. You know, put up the gates right away, and then somebody's standing outside there asking to be let in. Well, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if you're going to let anybody else in that heart and let them close, be sure if they're getting close to you that they have that same spiritual walk and direction and commitment. And even then, you test them. Because the core of your being and the core of who you are is in Christ Jesus. And the closer somebody gets to the core of who you are, the stronger that their walk and their connection should be along those same lines. And if not, it's only going to hurt you. It's only going to damage you. It's only going to take away from what God intends for you. So, yeah, so I like the breakdown of the different kinds of friends because I've seen them all, you know. And the truth is, it's like, you know, to have a true friend. And I've got a few, you know, in this life. And they're blessings. They really are. They really, really are. So, you know, the call also, again, for the righteous is, if necessary, to walk alone. if you have to, you will walk alone. But if at all possible, you know, if there's someone else that will walk in agreement with the Spirit of God, then you can walk together in this journey as well. And so if you keep an eye out for them, because they are there, and you may get to walk together for a lifetime, may just be for a season, may just be for a couple of days, whatever it may be, enjoy that company and enjoy those people, because they are part as well of what God intends to bless your life and for you to be a blessing unto them. And you're on the same journey, amazing journey with Christ. So, Brian, out of time sometimes.